But I want you to turn your Bible with me to the book of Matthew chapter 9. This is a portion of scripture that I looked at several weeks ago. And Matthew chapter 9. If we have time, we can go through the whole chapter tonight. But I'm trying to make it, squeeze it down to a very important portion of scripture. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 9 and in verse 37 and 38, said, "Then said unto the, then said he, Jesus said to the disciple, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray therefore the Lord of harvest, that he will send forth laborers unto his harvest." Father, we just come before your presence tonight. We just ask for your blessing upon your word. Pray that you help me with the message that I will preach your word in a way that you want us to have. And also we pray for the language that I will present your word in the way that your people understand tonight. In Christ's name, amen. You know, if you're looking at this, look at this chapter, it's a very interesting chapter. Looking at the whole chapter 9 of book of Matthew, if you look at it, I will entitle this message, it's the light from the blind man's eyes. It's a light from the blind man's eyes. You know, in verse 1 to verse 26, it's described how Jesus filled a crowd. He said in verse 1, and said, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought him a man sick of palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, and said unto the sick of palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sin be forgiven thee." You know, if you see that from verse 1 to verse 26, it's miracles after miracles after miracles. And you can tell how the multitude, how the crowd built up because of all this multitude. You know what? I was talking to some people last week, and they told me about our president. You know, I consider myself an American. And I said, you know what? That's true. No, we so get mad and angry at our president, but we hardly pray for him. Because if we pray for him and he gets saved, we'll probably change direction of our country. And we need to pray for him. And I had that in mind, and I thought, you know, I will start praying for this president for the rest of my life, that he will get saved. And you know, in this chapter, there are a lot of things that says in a chapter that all the things happen, and they build up the multitude, If you look at verse 3, and said, "Behold, certain scribe said within themselves, this man blasphemeth." So there was a group of the scribe there. If you look at verse 8, he said, "And when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." You know, they observed all these the miracles, and they build up the multitude. Everybody see things. You know, we tend to attract to people the things that we see. You know, I was running away from the Lord, and you know, God called me to go to Samoa. In 1984, I was saved. When I accepted Christ as my personal Savior, I had no intention to go back to Samoa as a missionary. I had never crossed in my mind. The reason why I went to New Zealand, I think I'm going to get all this money I need, and I can fill me a mansion there. I will be a rugby player for all my life. It never happened. The first year that I went to New Zealand, on that the Easter of that year, God opened my eyes to the truth, and I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. You know why? All the things that I think of, I never think of that again. And it's kind of 1984. I was saved. 1986. I surrendered to preach. Surrender to preach is coming from with the intention to, like something that God put in my mind, you have to go back. And I thought, no, 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 no. that this is wrong, God. I want to surrender to preach. Send somebody else. I'm surrendering here in New Zealand, not to Samoa. From 1986 to 1999, I was running from the Lord. That's a long time. I knew everything I went. I went to the military, tried to, you know, get away from the calling. I went and bought a taxi, tried to get away from the calling. 6 months later, when I spent all the money to buy a taxi, running a taxi in New Zealand, I drove from West Auckland to South Auckland, where I live, and had an accident on the road. Turned the car 3 times. They hit the inside barrier, hit the outside barrier, and turned it around 3 times and landed on the roof. My family went to see the car and they said, "I don't know why you lie." I walked away from that accident with a scratch on my neck. I was lying down there in the highway about 3 minutes. I think I was unconscious, and I look up and I see a lot of people all over the ambulance, firemen, and all the people around the highway. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning. It doesn't take long to build up a crowd, because people, these eyes want to see, want to know what's going on. And I believe that when Jesus walked away and performed these miracles, everybody's watching. What is he doing? What is he doing? He followed him all the way. You know, we understand that how things are going in our society today. It is easy to motivate people to participate in anything, but it is hard to find someone to stay with it. It is very easy to draw the attention, but after all, probably 2 or 3 people stick with the program. Everybody else leave. You know, I walk around the flea market in New Zealand. There was a guy who was, you know, he was demonstrating a little knife to cut the tiles and cut all the glasses. And everybody crowded and looked at his demonstration. And after that, there's only one person by the tool. Everybody else gone. And only 2 people are still talking to him about this. They want to know more about this tool. And it's like our society today. There are a lot of people flocking out. We have mission conference. We have revival service. We have all those sort of things. People crowding in the church. But after all, it probably 2, probably 1, somebody that really wants to serve the Lord. And that's happened in the time of Jesus Christ. If you look at that verse 8, he said, "When the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given them such power unto men." In verse 11, it said, "And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciple, Why eateth thou, Master, eateth your Master with publicans and sinners?" There were Pharisees, there were scribes, there was a multitude, there were scribes, there were Pharisees. Also, there's Jesus Christ's disciple, were they? It's in verse 14, it said, "Then came to him the disciple of John, saying, Why do we and Pharisees fast oft, but thy disciple fast not?" There was a disciple of John the Baptist there in that crowd. Look at verse 19. It said, and the Jesus arose and followed him. In verse 18 to verse, it's another story. When Jesus is talking, a man came to Jesus, verse 18, and said, while he was spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, "My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hands upon her, and she shall live." And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciple. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. And she said unto herself, "If I may touch his garment, I shall be whole." And Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house and saw the minstrel and the people making noise, he said unto them, keep place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. And when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And said, verse 26, and the fame hereof went abroad unto all the land. This keep building up this multitude. Everybody come to see. They want to see the miracles. And verse 27, probably the saddest, if that's the word, saddest word, verse in that chapter. He said, verse 27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. All this multitude building up, miracle after miracle, they come to see with their eyes. But when Jesus left, it says only two. Only two men follow him. Not only two men, they two blind men follow him. Man, I didn't see anything. All these people came because they see something. All these people came because they saw the miracles. And when Jesus left, only two men followed him. Not only two men, but two blind men followed him. Tell us something. You know, we have mission conference. As I said, mission conference, revival service. Everybody comes in. And after all the busyness of that week, we try to get them to church. Why? Because they're not really get what Jesus wants to see. When Jesus departed, two blind men follow him. It is a kind of a sad statement. From an able and intelligent man, and trained men and religious leaders and smart people, two men follow him. Only, not only men, but only two blind men follow him. Probably the most humiliated people in the crowd. These are the people that when the Jews look at these people, they treat them as handicapped. Get them out. There's no place for handicap in this crowd. But these are the only people that follow Jesus. And that's three things that I believe that these people have. First thing is they were listening to Jesus. Because of they cannot see with their eyes. They listen to Jesus. It said in verse 27, and when Jesus departed, then two blind men followed him, crying and saying, thou son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus, we know it all. We heard it all. They didn't see with their eyes, they heard Jesus. They said, Jesus, help me. Help us. They were listening to Jesus. Verse 28, and when he was coming into the house, the blind man came to him, and Jesus said unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? Do you believe that I can do this? Do you really believe that I can do this? They said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe. We believe. Where's the rest of the multitude? Where's the rest of the crowd? Not only they were listening to Jesus. Number two, they were longing for Jesus. They were longing for Jesus. Verse 29 said, Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. Their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly touched them, saying, see, no man know it. How do you know that's no one there? Jesus said, there's no one here. Two blind men standing there, and Jesus said, Don't tell anybody. No one's here. No one knows. Because the multitude left. They were longing for Jesus. But they, when they departed, spread abroad his fame in all the country. They were listening to Jesus. They were longing for Jesus. And also, they were learning about Jesus. It said, as they went out, behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. Isn't that something that we as Christians should have? When we accept the Lord Jesus as our person, say, when we know that we are cleansed, we should go out and get somebody else. And there was a story that told by a preacher. He said he went out one night and he saw a cat limping on the road. And he stopped. I don't know if anybody likes cats, but he stopped and picked up the cat. Typical preacher. He picked up the cat and look around and see what was wrong with the cat. And there was a sticker on his foot. So he took the cat home and took that one off, the sticker off, and keep the cat for a week. He said after a week, this cat left. He went for two weeks. Never see the cat again. And he was reading in his porch, and he saw this cat coming out of the bush with another cat, with a limping. This cat went out and tell the other cat that there's somebody that fixed that problem, and he bring it to the preacher. I don't know if the story is right, but if the cat knows how to bring another cat to the person that fixed the problem, we should know how to bring people that die and go to hell to salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And these men did it. And not only did they listen, they were longing for that Jesus and that healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also they learning, this is what Jesus do. I am going to go and do the same thing. He didn't say they went and bring another sick person to Jesus. And it's amazing when Jesus make that verse at the end of the chapter. I don't preach long. I just get to the end of the message. I get to what is the truth. Jesus said here in verse 37, then said Jesus unto his disciples. He said it to his disciples. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Yes, he said, look at these people. Look at this crowd that they flocking out to see miracles. How many people left? Two people want to do something for the Lord. Jesus said, disciple, the field is plenteous, but the problem is not many laborers. There's only people that come and see, observe, and not many people are doing the job. He said in verse 38, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. We need to pray that God will send forth laborers into the harvest. Let me challenge you tonight. Are you one of the crowd? Or are you the one of the two willing to do what God wants him to do? Are you listening to God? Are you longing for that power to work through you that you may be able to learn how to bring somebody to Jesus Christ? God bless you.